We'll read the Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise thou therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts. The town of Enniskillen was very recently at the centre of a huge media scrum as the leaders of the world's wealthiest nations descended upon Fermanagh for the G8 summit. These powerful individuals who exercise profound influence upon the world today are represented in the Psalm 2 by the phrase, the kings of the earth. In ancient times, government was exercised by kings who were by and large dictators. The G8 leaders, on the other hand, are democratically elected politicians who are handed their authority by the ballot box and who are held accountable by their respective parliaments, press, and people. Nevertheless, they are the modern-day equivalent of the kings of the earth. In the Psalm 2, however, another king dominates world affairs, for whom the other rulers of little regard. This king is introduced in the verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Who is this king? And is he as relevant on the international stage today as he was in ancient times? We'll think about the king upon his throne. There is first of all the coronation of the king. There are many scholars who believe that this psalm reads like an ancient coronation song or poem. It is true that the words may well be associated historically with the crowning of David as king, because he was indeed the Lord's anointed. Nevertheless, even the most casual reading of the words will reveal that there is a greater king in view in this place. The one who sits upon the holy hill of Zion, which was the ancient seat of power in Israel, has been placed there by God. This king declares himself to be God's son. In the verse 7, the king himself speaks, The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Therefore this begs the question, Who is this king set in place by God, who is also known as the Son of God, the one begotten by God? The mystery is unravelled in the New Testament. When the early Christians were first suffering persecution, they gathered for prayer in Acts 4, 24-27. There they quote from the Psalm 2, and they refer to the King who is anointed by God as being the Holy Child Jesus. Also in Hebrews 1 and 5, the Apostle Paul pinpoints the Lord Jesus Christ as being one begotten this day by the Father, referring to Psalm 2 verse 7. The book of Revelation makes a number of references to the Psalm 2, all of which identify Christ as being the great king who presides over world affairs. The most striking of these references is found in Revelation 2, 27, where Christ rules with a rod of iron, which is how the king in Psalm 2 reigns, according to the 9th verse. There can be little doubt that the one who presides over world affairs, and who is greater and more powerful than Obama, than Putin, than Merkel or Cameron, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. I love the words of Revelation 19 and 6, where a song is recorded, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Whatever is going on in the world, he is in control. The nations which were represented at Enniskillen at the G8, are subject to the will of God. Christ has been crowned by God the Father as the great King. Are you subject to him today? Let us also think about the conspiracy against the king. The story of Psalm 2, however, is one of conspiracy. The kings of the earth are in the picture only because they are taking counsel against God and his king. When the early church was being persecuted, they believed that their suffering at the hands of the Jewish Sanhedrin was a fulfillment of Psalm 2. As David described the rulers taking counsel against the Lord and his anointed, they could quite clearly see the Jewish Sanhedrin and all of their conspiracies to crucify Jesus and to persecute his followers after the resurrection. The truth is, this conspiracy has always been at work since those days. In the centuries following the death of the apostles, the Roman Empire presided over a series of persecutions against Christians. The most brutal emperor in those dark days was a man by the name of Diocletian, and a medal which he struck up, and on two monuments which he left behind. We know from the inscriptions that he prided himself in extinguishing Christianity. He was a wicked tyrant who was responsible for the martyrdom of many Christians. This conspiracy by political leaders against Christianity has been a feature of world history in the centuries since Rome collapsed. The pages of church history are filled with stories of God's people and their imprisonments and deaths for the sake of the gospel. This conspiracy against the true church continues to the present. From the limited accounts which come out from North Korea, we know that thousands of Christians are imprisoned and held in labour camps. The freedoms of Christians are greatly restricted in countries like Afghanistan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and China, and many others besides. There are nations where Christians have freedom according to the law, but where they suffer from sectarian abuse and violence and are protected little. The leaders who met in Enniskillen may claim to be democratic and civilized, yet they too are responsible for a post-Christian moral agenda in their respective nations. Standards of morality are advocated by governments today which directly contravene the word of God. Did you know, for example, that over 200,000 abortions are performed each year in Britain? This contravenes God's standard of morality, thou shalt not kill. The recent attempt to redefine marriage is another attack on God's word and Christ himself. Our Lord described marriage as a covenant between male and female. Anything outside of this cannot be called marriage. Therefore, wherever we look across the world, in these islands, the conspirators of the Psalm 2 are very much alive, taking counsel against the Lord and his Christ. I also want to talk to you about the conquering by the king. The overwhelming image of the second Psalm, however, is that of a king who conquers. All of the enemies of God and his word will be resoundingly defeated and overcome by Jesus, our King. This picture of victory begins in the third verse with the God who laughs. This is the only place in Scripture where God is depicted as laughing. He mocks the attempts of the ungodly leaders to overthrow his truth. He may allow them a little latitude for a period, but they are ever under his control. Jesus Christ, the King, asks of his Father for the heathen, that he might have the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. Despite the attempts of men like Diocletian to destroy Christianity, the gospel continued to flourish. It was not Christianity which was extinguished. It was Rome which was extinguished. And the church continued to grow. The church went forward and the message went out into all the earth. Today there are believers across the world in every nation because Christ is reigning. He is continuing to build his church through missionary endeavour and the evangelism of local churches. David also presents an image of judgment here in this psalm. The king who reigns does so with a rod of iron, smashing his foes in pieces like a potter's vessel. All those who conspire against Christ and his people and his word will one day be judged by him. They will stand and give account of their wickedness and foolishness and daring to overthrow the only world leader who is just that. In particular, presidents and prime ministers will account for the wicked policies which they introduced, which were opposed to the moral law of God. That will be a most solemn day. There will be a day of judgment. when the king will sit and judge the world according to